This is the Bet the Board podcast for Thursday, October 29th. Hopefully everyone has been able, October 30th, I should say. Hopefully everyone has picked out their Halloween costumes. We'll, more or less, we'll have plenty of tricks and or treats for you on the NFL board. Be joined in just a second by Payne. Want to thank everyone for turning in their questions using the hashtag AskBetTheBoard this week. Unfortunately, due to some time constraints, we're not going to be able to get to those, but we will resume that feature next week. Mr. Payne, as we go through this fine board, does it still look as foreign to you now as it did to you and I on Monday when we started to preview these things?
Some things are starting to get into shape a little bit. It's definitely one of the tougher weeks, in my opinion, of the entire season. I think some of the primetime games offer some value. I know we'll get to one of those later in this fine podcast. But I think there's a few spots to be had this week. But overall, it's a tough card here in Week 9.
Yeah, when you look at these games, there'll be plenty of opportunities, hopefully, that start to emerge in the next 24 to 48 hours before you get closer to Sunday. For those folks listening for a Thursday night preview of the Saints trip to Carolina, that'll come at the end of the podcast. So, Payne, let's just get started at the top of the board with your betting index numbers. In a game in your backyard, Miami, a 2.5-point favorite now painted across the board as they play host to the San Diego Chargers.
This is a tough game initially for me to gauge. I had to kind of get some information down here, and I had kind of alluded to in the opening podcast I was leaning towards the Chargers, and that's kind of since changed. The feeling in the locker room and the information that I've got was they treated that Jacksonville game as a loss last week. It was really one of their most disappointing efforts of the entire year. How they were up 24-6 in that game on the road playing as poorly as they did, I do not know. And when you really break down this game, these are two teams that this game will mean so much down the line, wild card implications here. And this is going to be sort of, based on everything I know from what Mike Wallace has said in the locker room, a Super Bowl-like game for the Miami Dolphins. So at that point, I would look towards the Dolphins in this game. I know we have seen some money towards the over at 44.5. I don't really love that anymore, but I think the Dolphins are probably the side here.
Yeah, I think we've seen this number get bet up. Be interesting to see if we see a 3 start to pop in the market. And as we talked earlier in the year, we weren't sure how good San Diego was. You go back through what this team has been able to do thus far. Not a marquee victory. They've beaten up on some bottom feeders, and this is going to be a tough, tough task, even with extra time to prepare, taking on a good Miami side. From Miami to the lovely city that's known as Cleveland, Ohio, where the Browns are a 6.5-point favorite against Tampa. You look at the Browns, they did cover last week as a similar chalk against Oakland, struggled the week before against Jacksonville. But how do we handicap Cleveland knowing they've relied so much on turnover differential to get them off on such on a good start this season?
Yeah, you know, it's a great story with what's going on with the Browns. But I think this is probably a spot where you'd look to take the points. I'm not sure how high this gets. I think most will be looking towards Tampa in this direction, potentially buying 2-7. That Cleveland game, I think the score is a little misleading last week. It was a 9-6 game into the fourth quarter. And again, you nailed it. They've been living on the turnovers. That will eventually regress to the mean there. And I think Tampa, it was a tough, tough loss at home last week in overtime. But I think they'll show some resiliency here on the road. I think they get you know, your boy, Charles Sims, acclimated into the offense a little bit this week, and hopefully they have some semblance of a ground game. And this Cleveland defense, I think, is a little overrated, so I think Tampa here at 6.5 is the side.
Yeah, you look at Tampa, if they're going to be able to run the football against an overrated Cleveland run defense, that could be the difference here. Again, you look at this number, though, very similar to what we saw. Tampa catching 6.5 for a trip to Pittsburgh, a game they won outright. Personally, this is one of the harder games for me to try and handicap. The thought of laying nearly a touchdown with Cleveland is scary, and the thought of backing Tampa on the road equally as frightening. For Washington and Minnesota, this game, we'll call it a pick right now. See some ones out there here in town. For Washington trying to take their show on the road after that big win Monday night against the Washington Redskins, a game that both you and I sat on the sidelines for despite talking about dog and under, but I'm not bitter in the least. You look at Minnesota here, you know, where are the Vikings headed at this time? We know about all their young playmakers. Teddy Bridgewater looks a little bit better. Jarius Wright, Cordarrelle Patterson, and a running game that's really started to emerge with Jerick McKinnon.
This is a team that's definitely geared towards the future. It was a big confidence-boosting win in overtime last week. I think some of that momentum kind of carries forward. Tough spot here for Washington. Short week, back-to-back road games, Cowboys versus Indians. That was their Super Bowl. I think I like Minnesota now here, more so that RG3 is going to be acclimated back in, thrown in. I don't think he'll perform very well. That said, I'm not sure how long, if we go right away at this pick minus one number on Minnesota. I know a lot of the math guys are head over heels for Washington before last week. It's a team that was top 10 in yards per play offensively and defensively, if you can believe that or not. So I think we'll see some money. We saw it, you know, get to Washington minus one, and there was some resistance there. Again, Vikes are nothing for me.
Yeah, this game is beginning to look eerily similar to what we saw when Minnesota played host to Detroit. As you talked about it, the math guys like the Lions there. Some of the situational and fundamental handicappers were on the Vikings. We know how that game worked out, to say the least. Question I have for you as far as adjusting Washington's power rating from what we saw Monday night with Colt McCoy to RG3, two and a half point upgrade, or are we completely not even in that same ballpark?
You know, it's tough for me. I think game one back, I wouldn't make it that much. Maybe as things kind of trend towards moving forward in an overall landscape, that's probably the right number. But for this game specifically, no, I don't have RG3, a 2.5 point upgrade over Colt McCoy for this specific game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how quick, if any, Washington looks to pull the trigger on getting RG3 out if he struggles. But I have to imagine he is their franchise quarterback moving forward. You're going to endure some growing pains as he comes back from this injury. Philadelphia, Houston, we talked about this game a little bit on Monday. You've seen some money come in on the dog here from 2.5 down to 2. Albeit nothing to get too excited about as we haven't crossed any key numbers. Can we make a case for the Houston Texans here? I know I've struggled with it. I think you've struggled with it. But apparently someone out there believes the Texans a little bit undervalued.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to go against you know, the information, but I don't agree with Houston. That's certainly the side that the professionals seem to be siding with. For me, I'm not high on Houston. I don't really believe in this team. I was pretty impressed, and I know most won't agree. I was impressed with what Philadelphia did last week. Quite honestly, they just need to get their struggles in the red zone. It's been an issue for them offensively all year. Pretty shocking when you think that offense is the issue under Chip Kelly, but that was the issue. The defense, to me, removed two plays from that game, and it was an absolutely great performance from Philadelphia's defense. I think Philadelphia really dominated that game in Arizona, a very, very tough place to play. I think you get a good effort here from Philadelphia, but again, not running to back Philadelphia in this spot and kind of oppose my information.
Yeah, we know the Sharp guys have been against Philadelphia for a large portion of the season last week, jumping on the Eagles. Interesting to see them going back to the well, starting to apply a little bit of opposition in this particular spot. Jets, Kansas City, I've spoken about the Jets enough on this podcast, as you have through multiple radio interviews, so we're not even going to discuss their existence in the NFL at this juncture and move on to Arizona, Dallas, where you only see one book right now with a number here. Dallas listed as a 3.5 point favorite given Romo's uncertainty. How do you even begin to go about handicapping this game, whether it's Romo as the starting quarterback or potentially Brandon Whedon?
I think it was a tough game before the Romo question marks, and I know he looked, supposedly they were saying he was improved today health-wise, but I think he's highly questionable for Sunday's game. When you look at this number, and I'm not a, and a lot of people don't like Tony Romo, but when you talk about the downgrade to Brandon Whedon, who we saw looked okay on the first few series but wasn't very good after that point, I make this about a 6-point downgrade, and I'm not high on Arizona this year. Bruce Arians, right now, coach of the year, should get it no matter what. This Arizona team, to me, not very good at all, but and they're overvalued coming into this game, so it's just a really, really tough one for me to gauge with a lot of moving parts.
I think when you talk about Arizona, they're going to be an interesting team to watch as we get later in the year. Seems to be a smoke and mirrors edition. You know, you see a lot of these major media outlets calling them the second-best team in the NFL based purely on record, but the metrics speak to a very different effect, and hopefully we find some value going against Arizona. Unfortunately, this may not be the week to start that particular trend. And from a marquee matchup, which I think you have to look at from the NFC early in the day, to one in the AFC later in the day, Denver right now, we'll call them a minus 3, minus 120 favorite for their road trip to New England. you have seen this total go all over the place from 54 up to a peak of 55.5, and you're starting to see resistance as a total settling in at that 54 range. But what do we make of the Denver Broncos? Extra time to prepare here, and is this a good opportunity for us to potentially fade New England as a prime sell-high candidate?
You know, in a lot of the situational cappers, we'll see Denver coming in at a market peak probably pretty high, and you have the revenge factor, quote-unquote. And I know Brady's turned it around in the month of October, LaFell really emerging, Gronkowski getting healthier. But to me, when you look at who they've played, not really a slew of impressive opponents. I think Denver is simply in another class here, and I think laying the three is pretty short. I made this game around 3.7, 3.8, so you're looking at a 4 almost, and I think Denver will end up being the side. They'll do enough. I think they're just vastly improved on defense. A lot of the new pieces are getting acclimated together, and I think Denver is just a clear cut above everybody in the NFL right now.
You at all surprised right now when we look at this betting trends and see that the action pretty much split on this particular ballgame?
Yeah, I am. I really am. But I think that lends itself to how well New England's looked lately, how well Brady's looked, and then again how Belichick has done in the history against Peyton Manning. I think a lot of people still factor that in. And granted, I think you should, but I'm just not sure New England right now, with all their injuries on defense, have the tools to be able to do what Belichick wants to do defensively.
Yeah, they really haven't encountered an offense this dynamic. And amazing to think that New England was a 3-point home underdog earlier this season against the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't care who you speak to, Denver and Cincinnati don't power rate as the exact same team. So you're seeing some interesting opportunities beginning to emerge in the market. Just got to reset for those folks tuning into the Bet the Board podcast, the man on the other end of the line. He of Payne Insider fame, you can find him on Twitter at Payne Insider or see his great work at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. You can see my work at ToddsTake.com or follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Payne, we talked a little bit about how some of the sharp guys will automatically look to take two touchdown underdogs in this day and age in the NFL, and we have one of those in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle listed as a 15-point favorite with a very low total of 43. Can we even think about making a case to back the Raiders in this particular spot?
I think the number's perfect. I made it about 16 just from a strictly power number perspective. I'm not going to be laying it. I'm certainly not going to be taking it with Oakland. It's just I know Seattle's offense is struggling right now, and when you have a struggling offense like that laying this many points, I think the defense will kind of get back to what they do best. That Oakland offense right now is just very, very bad, and that's really tough. It's tough for me to kind of get involved. But when you look at this number, you are going to have sharp guys blindly taking the points, I think, at some point during this week. Wouldn't be stunned to see this close in the 14 range. I really wouldn't. But just a game that I have no interest in whatsoever. But I do agree with the total move towards the over from 41.5 out to that key number 43.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that start to tick up a little bit, as we always have to remind people, not only in Seattle, but please make sure when you're betting totals, especially early in the week, check those weather forecasts as we get into the late fall and early winter in some of the cities not known for fun in the sun. From Seattle to a game that should be very interesting in helping shape the AFC North playoff picture a little bit more than what we've seen thus far. Seen a pretty decent move here. Pittsburgh opened as a 1.5-point favorite as they play host to the Ravens. The Ravens now listed as a 1.5-point favorite, even -2 in some spots. Are we on board here with Baltimore, given their road struggles and some of their injury concerns, being a road favorite in such a heated rivalry?
You know, I think this kind of goes into effect of what most sharp bettors really feel like Pittsburgh is. Now, it was a big win for Pittsburgh last week. I get it. I think the Colts were probably a little overvalued. But in this spot, in a division game with revenge, needing to kind of nod the series at 1-1 to have a shot in that division, Baltimore banged up, Jimmy Smith, that's a huge loss. Yet we're seeing an appetite from the professionals on Baltimore, and I think that really lends itself to how poor Pittsburgh really is. And I definitely will not be backing Pittsburgh here. For me, it's Baltimore or I'm on the sidelines.
I know we talked about this a little on Monday, but I think it's always fascinating for people that are just getting started in this racket to try and figure out appropriate valuations for certain teams. To think this Steelers team was a 5-point underdog last Sunday. Now they're only catching 1.5 and actually opened a favorite, talking about a nearly 6-point discrepancy in power rating, at least from where these numbers closed to where this one opened, between the Baltimore Ravens at this current juncture and the Colts. And I can categorically say with a supreme level of confidence that most people don't have the Colts a 6.5-point favorite on a neutral field against the Ravens.
No. My power rankings actually have Baltimore a slight tick above the Colts, despite losing in Indianapolis earlier this season. So my whole thing here is if you're running to bet Pittsburgh, not only are you a week late, obviously you saw the final results, but based on a pure numbers perspective, you simply cannot bet Pittsburgh this week, in my opinion.
Question I have for you, do you think, knowing some of the information we have at our disposal, that this game will get up to 2.5 and you'll see people looking to buy onto the dog potentially at +3 minus $1.25?
You know, it's tough to say. There's obviously going to – I don't think this gets to 3. I really don't. But if it does, there will be a group that shows resistance in this spot on a Sunday night. Knowing how close this series has been, I think the last 6 games have been decided by 3 points or less. So when you get that in Pittsburgh, I think you will have another set of groups that are looking to grab 3. It's just such a key number, and you're going to get groups that just blindly will take the 3 in a spot like this in a division game. With revenge, I get the angle. Obviously, Pittsburgh getting a little healthier on defense, a new weapon on offense getting acclimated with Bryant. So there are some things that you look at Pittsburgh and say, hey, we're improving a little bit. And at 3, I think there will be an appetite for the home dog. So I don't believe we get there.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how this game continues to develop. Of course, the Monday nighter for Andrew Luck and his Indianapolis Colts going on the road to the New York Giants. You'll have to tune in to the Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. But before we leave our loyal listeners, we would be remiss not to preview tonight's game between the Saints and Panthers. And again, for those folks, thank you for submitting your questions using AskBetTheBoard hashtag, but we don't have time to get to those this week. Carolina in New Orleans, Payne. Carolina was a 2.5-point favorite on the look-ahead lines, minus 1.5 in some spots. You've now seen that number shift all the way to actually having to lay a price if you want to back the Saints here at -3, -120. Totals held pretty steady in that 49-49.5 range. Are we starting to see a little bit more confidence in the Saints on the road just based off that Green Bay performance? Or do we attribute this mainly to public money pushing the number up?
Well, we have seen, obviously there were professionals that came in and took New Orleans early in the week. There's no doubt about that. We're now seeing this New Orleans 3 minus 115. And a couple things. I know a lot of people will look at this game and say New Orleans is going to be overvalued coming off the big win on Sunday Night Football. For me, I think that just means it was a fantastic opportunity on Sunday Night Football to back New Orleans. I really do. When you look at this, last year New Orleans went into Carolina, a much better version of Carolina in my opinion, and we're laying 3.5. So, to me, the number opened really short. I think the look-ahead line, one where the Panthers were minus 1.5, just goes to show you how undervalued New Orleans was last week. Now, I know lately, obviously, New Orleans has not been a world beater, lost 7 in a row on the road, and I think that's the narrative everybody wants to use, but they see it. It's going around their locker room. And I know they haven't been great against the spread recently, but when you talk about as a whole with Breeze and Sean Payton since 2006, they're 35-37-1 against the spread on the road. So I think it kind of gets overplayed at how bad they are. Carolina, you're talking about some issues on the offensive line. You're going to be starting 4 undrafted guys on that offensive line. So that's, to me, I know a lot of the, I think we'll see some resistance here at some point from professionals on Carolina. I think 3.5, obviously. I don't know if we get there. There are some out there. It'll be interesting to see where this closes, but I don't think it was a horrible line or where I'd be running to go bet Carolina early in the week or even now.
And for me personally, I know I passed on the Monday nighter, both on the underdog and looking to go under the total. Tonight's game seems very tricky to try and navigate through. Obviously, laying -3, -20 out of the question for the Saints. Not sure I have an appetite for the underdog. And judging by the sounds of our brief conversation, you have a very similar mindset that there may be better opportunities come Sunday than what we'll find on the gridiron later this evening.
Yeah, I think so. For me, if I was to do anything in this game, I would definitely look towards the under at 49.5. I think when you kind of break this down just a little bit at its core, everyone will want to go over. I think we'll get, just like any market, a market correction with these primetime games. I really feel that way. A really condensed game plan, short week. I don't think there'll be a lot of new wrinkles, so to speak, for either offense. Carolina this year, when you look at this team as a whole, they haven't had a great offensive line. They haven't had either of their running backs both playing in Stewart and Williams since week one. So when you look at the numbers, they've passed the ball 7% more year over year. I think they'll get back to the ground game tonight. When you look at New Orleans, they got Ingram healthy. This was a team that was virtually split last week, pass to run. So I think you'll get more run from New Orleans on that side of the ball, and I think it's probably conducive to an under in this spot. I really do, especially at 49.5.
One last thing before we close up shop on this Thursday. Do you think we've seen odds makers adjust enough based on the rash of primetime overs, or do you think that we are definitely due for a serious regression, so much being made of the first 24 primetime games, 20 of which went over? We're now on a modest one-game winning streak for those underbettors out there.
You know, it is a market, and I think there will always be a correction in the market. I think it will, you know, not be as dramatic as it was. And that's basically how I feel. Every game, to me, though, is a different game. It's its own entity. I wouldn't just blindly be betting unders here because of what we've seen with the primetime trends towards the over. Each game needs to be capped individually. But, you know, it is a market, and I think it will correct itself. And I think in this specific spot, I would be looking under.
I really thought for a second you were going to use the overused cliche of every game is its own snowflake. So thankful, Payne, you didn't drop that particular reference into this fine podcast.
Not December yet. No snow.
we're getting there soon, and you get the weather forecast out there throughout New England. Fortunately, you and I will get to avoid those in our fine destinations. But, Payne, before we bid everyone a fond farewell, any parting remarks on this fine podcast?
Don't be that guy that dresses in weird Halloween costumes tomorrow night.
I wonder who that cheap shot was directed at. I can't say or promise that I won't fall into that distinction. But maybe if you're lucky, there will be a picture or two circulated from my fine choice in Halloween attire. But for Payne Insider, he of PayneInsider.com, I'm Todd Furman. Best of luck to you on Thursday night with the Saints and Panthers. And hopefully it continues on through the wagering weekend, and we'll see you at the window.